Grandma's keeping track of advance ticket sales. I'll check in with her to see if there's a jump in sales tomorrow. The cast really looked good, didn't they?
The cast looked really great, Hannah agreed. I loved those costumes.
I'm really glad we took the time to do makeup and get into our costumes.
Michelle gave a little smile.
At first I was upset when PK suggested it because it takes so much time, but he was right. It looks so much better than seeing the characters in their everyday clothes.
Hannah was about to go to the kitchen to get more coffee when Michelle's cell phone rang. That's probably PK to see if you liked his commercial, she speculated.
I bet you're right, Michelle said, reaching out for her cell phone. I'm going to record it to see if he liked his commercial.
She answered the call and almost immediately began to frown. What is it? Hannah asked quickly as a distressed expression crossed Michelle's face.
It's PK. There's something wrong, Hannah. Look!
Hannah glanced at the display and realized that she was watching a video of PK driving Ross's car.
It's real time, Michelle said quickly. He's got his phone in the dashboard holder Ross has in his car.
Mickey, PK said, giving a lopsided smile. How you, girl?
He sounds drunk, Michelle exclaimed. Or drugged. Can you ask him if he's okay?
Are you okay, PK?
Michelle asked.
Mickey.
PK reached up to rub his face.
Pretty Mickey. Don't feel good.
PK's phone was positioned so that they could see his face and also the driver's side window. As the two sisters watched, the edge of the road appeared to move forward and then recede. Tell him to pull over, Hannah said, grabbing Michelle's arm. Hurry, he almost went in the ditch.
Pull over, PK, Michelle said loudly. You shouldn't be driving. Pull over, right now.
Hannah moved closer so that she could listen for his response, but there was no response at all.
Please, PK, she shouted. Pull over.
It's no use, Michelle told her. Either he's got our audio off, or he's too drunk or stoned to listen to us.
No,
PK said, and both sisters could see that his eyes looked vague and unfocused.
Thought I just hungry. Ate Ross his desk. Candies. Sick.
Pull over,
Hannah shouted again as the car veered toward the center of the road and then lurched back toward the ditch again.
Pull over, PK. Please pull over,
Michelle added, the panic clear in her voice. There was no response to their pleas, and Michelle shook her head.
He can't hear us, Hannah.
You're probably right, but at least he's back on his side of the road again.
No more candies,
PK mumbled, and then his eyelids began to lower.
Got to get Doc Hospital.
Both Hannah and Michelle watched in horror as the car weaved from one side of the road to the other, barely missing a county road sign. They had just given sighs of relief when the car began to drift toward the wrong side of the road again.
"Wake up, PK!"
Michelle called out, leaning close to the phone.
"Listen to me! You've got to stay awake!"
Again, there was no response from PK. The only thing they heard was the sound of the engine growing louder and louder.
"He's stepping on the gas," Hannah said in horror. "I know. I can hear it. And he's... Oh, no!"
Michelle's last word was an anguished cry, and Hannah felt as if it had come from her own throat. PK's eyes were closed now, but the car was going faster and faster. The scene outside the driver's side window appeared to bounce up and down as the pine trees rushed past at breakneck speed. Then there was a loud blaring sound.
"The horn's on," Michelle identified it. "PK must be blowing it for help."
Or he's wedged on the steering wheel, Hannah thought, but of course she didn't say what she was thinking.
"Look!"
They watched as the bakery box with the raspberry Danish that they'd given PK that morning flew past the screen as if it had suddenly grown wings.
"He's in the ditch!" Michelle gasped. "And the car's still going!"
Her horrified words were no sooner spoken than the screen on Michelle's cell phone went black.
"His phone shut off, or broke, or something," Michelle gasped. "We have to do something, Hannah."
Hannah thought fast. "You said you were going to record the call."
"I did."
"Can you send that video to Mike's cell phone?"
Yes, I think so."
"Do it, right now. I'll call Mike and tell him it's coming." While Michelle figured out how to retrieve the video and send it, Hannah placed a call to Mike. Then she ducked into the kitchen to speak to him in private. Michelle was upset enough already. There was no way Hannah wanted her to overhear the conversation she was about to have with Mike. Luckily, Mike answered on the second ring, and Hannah told him the video was coming. "It looked really bad, Mike, and I recognized a couple of landmarks. I think PK went off the road right before Abe Schilling's back pasture, the one where he keeps his bull in the summer. Do you know where that is?" When Mike had assured her he knew the particular pasture she'd described, Hannah added her final sentences, the ones she hadn't wanted Michelle to overhear. "Hurry out there, Mike. There may be a chance that PK is still alive, but I really doubt it." Before she left the kitchen, Hannah poured the rest of the coffee into a thermos and carried it out to the living room. "Did Mike get the video?" she asked Michelle.
"Yes, he just texted me."
"Good. Now go get your parka and your boots. We're going out there."
"How? We don't know where PK went off the road."
"I recognize some landmarks, and I think I know where it happened. Hurry up, Michelle, and don't forget your warm scarf and mittens."
"Is that the county road sign we saw?"
Michelle asked as Hannah drove down the winding road. "I think so. And if I'm right, we only have a mile or two to go." Hannah slowed for another bend in the road. "Do you hear a siren?" Michelle lowered her window.
"Yes, I hear it too."
"It's probably Mike."
"Or the paramedics,"
Michelle added.
"I think I hear two sirens now."
When they rounded the next bend, they could see lights in the distance across the expanse of snow. Right after they passed an old yellow and black Minnesota Breeders Association sign nailed to a tree, Michelle drew in her breath sharply.
"I saw that sign on the video," she said, her voice shaking slightly.
"I know." They rounded another curve, and Hannah saw more lights in the distance. "Hang on, Michelle. We're almost there."
"Doc's car."
Michelle identified the car that was parked on the side of the road. "And Mike's cruiser." Hannah pulled past it and parked behind another car that was on the shoulder of the road. "That's Dr. Bob's car. Let's go, Michelle." As they opened their car doors, two figures materialized through the blowing snow. At first it was impossible to identify them, but as they reached the crest of the ditch, Michelle rushed forward.
"Mother?"
she called out. Hannah was right behind her sister. It was obvious that their mother must have been riding with Doc, because her car wasn't there.
"Take your mother back to my car, Michelle," Doc said. "I left it running, and the heater is on. Make her take off her wet shoes and wrap her in a blanket, and stay with her until I come back, okay?"
"Of course, but
not now, Michelle."
Doc interrupted what was certain to be a question about PK.
"Just take care of your mother for us. There's nothing you can do to help out here."
Hannah watched as her sister's face crumpled into a mask of sorrow and loss. Michelle had also caught the message behind Doc's words. She slipped an arm around Michelle's shoulders, gave her a comforting squeeze, and leaned close. "I'll take care of everything out here," she said. "You take care of Mother." Michelle swallowed hard, and then she nodded.
"I will,"
she promised, reaching out to take their mother's arm and leading Dolores to Doc's car. Hannah waited until Michelle and her mother had left, and then she turned to Doc. "Bad?" she asked him.
"Yes. Mike's down there now, and he filled me in about the video." "What do you want to know?"
"Was PK drunk?"
"No."
"Drugged?" Doc gave a slight nod.
"That's my guess. I'll know more after I take your mother home and get back to the hospital. They'll be here to transport him soon.
Hannah asked the question she knew Michelle would have asked. Was PK in pain?
That's very doubtful. Doc reached out to pat her shoulder. I'll know more later, but I'm almost certain he was already gone when he went off the road.
Did Dr. Bob find him?
No. Bob delivered a calf at Carl Schilling's farm. He said it was a breech birth, and Carl called him to help. Bob was just driving out when he heard a car horn. As he rounded the bend, he heard the sound of branches breaking, and he knew that someone had gone in the ditch.
So he stopped to help?
Of course. And that's when he saw the deer by the side of the road.
PK hit a deer?
He sideswiped a deer as the car went into the ditch. Bob was about to climb down in the ditch when your mother and I pulled up. I told him to take care of the deer, and I'd take care of anyone who was in the car.
Is the deer dead?
No, just stunned. Nothing broken, no major injuries. Bob thinks it'll be up on its feet in a couple of minutes, and hightailing it back into the woods.
Doc rubbed his hands together, and Hannah realized that he was cold in his dress coat and thin leather gloves. Do you want some hot coffee, Doc? I've got a thermos in my truck.
I can wait until I get back to the hospital. But I'll bet Mike and Lonnie could use some. If you give me the thermos, I'll take it down there to them.
I'll take it. I've got on snow boots.
Not on a bet, Hannah. I know the real reason you want to take that coffee down to Mike and Lonnie.
Hannah did her best to look perfectly clueless.
What do you mean?
You want to go down there because it'll give you a chance to pump them for information. Isn't that right?
Hannah sighed. You know me too well, Doc.
That's because I delivered you. I'm the first person you ever saw. And that means I've known you all your life.
Hannah smiled at the predictable line. Doc told all three of the Swenson sisters the very same thing. How about Mother? Will she be all right if you take her back to the penthouse and go back to the hospital?
She'll be fine. You underestimate your mother, Hannah. She's a lot stronger than you think she is.
But she's had a nasty shock. Except for Dr. Bob, you and Mother were first at the scene, and it must have been... Hannah paused to think of the right word. An upsetting sight.
It would have been if I hadn't blocked your mother's view. Car accidents are never pretty. The human body is no match for asphalt and metal. Now go get that thermos, and I'll take it down to Mike and Lonnie. Then I want you to take Michelle away before my paramedics arrive. She doesn't need to see them take PK away.
But really, Doc, Hannah began to protest.
Forget it, Hannah.
Doc took her by the shoulders and turned her around.
Mike always comes over to your place after something like this happens, and you can pump him for information later.
Chapter 5. When the alarm clock began its predictable, high-pitched electronic beeping at 4:30 the next morning, Hannah sat up in bed. She'd been plagued by dreams of cars skidding off roads covered in ice and crashing into fences and snowbanks. It didn't take a genius to know why her dreams had featured winter driving accidents. She gave a sorrowful sigh for PK and the fate that had befallen him, and then she threw back the covers and swung her feet over the side of the bed. Michelle might want to talk about PK's death, and she wanted to be there for her sister. Hannah turned to look at the pillow on the opposite side of the bed. It was where Moishe usually slept, unless he'd stolen her pillow. There was no orange-and-white 23-pound cat nestled on the expensive goose-down. She gave a fleeting thought about how much she wished that Ross were sleeping there, and then she pushed that unhappy notion from her mind and got up to find Michelle. The moment she was on her feet and fully awake, Hannah smelled the enticing scent of berries. She wasn't sure whether the berries were raspberry, strawberry, or something else, but she knew that Michelle was baking. Her sister must be making breakfast, and it smelled delicious. A quick shower later, she put on the fluffy robe Dolores had given her as part of her trousseau. Then she found her slippers under the bed and padded down the carpeted hallway to investigate. She found Michelle taking something from the oven, something that caused her taste buds to wake up and beg for a bite. "What is it?" she asked, bypassing the usual good-morning greeting.
"Which is it?"
Michelle replied, gesturing toward the kitchen counter. Two wire racks were in evidence, one of them filled with something that looked like muffins. The other was waiting to hold the pan that Michelle had just taken out of the oven.
"Some kind of muffins and cheese and eggs?" Hannah hazarded a guess.
"Close. I made mixed berry muffins and chili cheese omelet squares. Mike called to say he was coming over to talk to you before you left for work, and I invited him to breakfast. I hope that's all right."
"It is. But that was a lot of work for you. How long have you been up?"
"Since 2. I couldn't sleep. I kept thinking about PK and how unfair everything is. I really liked him a lot, Hannah."
"More than you thought you did?"
Yes.
A tear ran down Michelle's cheek, and Hannah wished she hadn't asked the question. She hurried over to her sister and hugged her gently. "I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought that up."
"It's okay."
Michelle's voice was shaking slightly.
"It's true, but I didn't know it until..."
She stopped and swallowed hard.
"Until he was gone. And I realized I'd never see him again. I wasn't in love with him, but I loved him. And I'll miss him, Hannah."
"I'll miss him, too. What time is Mike coming?" Michelle glanced at the apple-shaped kitchen clock on the wall.
"He'll be here in 10 minutes.
"And he'll be on time because you promised him breakfast and he knows what a good cook you are."
Hannah turned toward the doorway. "Please pour me a cup of coffee, Michelle. I'm going to go get dressed, and I'll be back here before it cools."
"But don't you want me to wait until you're back here?"
"No. That cup of coffee will be like the carrot in front of the donkey. I'll hurry so that I can get back here to drink it."
True to her word, Hannah was back in the kitchen in less than 5 minutes. She'd already chosen her outfit for the day, and it was a simple matter to slip into her clothes and run a brush through her hair.
"That was fast,"
Michelle commented as Hannah came into the kitchen.
"That's because I had an incentive."
Hannah headed straight for the kitchen table and the mug of coffee that was waiting for her.
"Thanks," she said, picking up the mug and taking her first sip of the bracing brew.
"Would you like a muffin to go with your coffee?"
Michelle asked.
Hannah thought about that for the space of a nanosecond. "Yes, please. They smell wonderful."
Michelle plucked a muffin from the cooling rack and brought it to Hannah. Then she brought soft butter and a knife.
"Let me know how you like them," she said.
"I will."
Hannah peeled the paper from the muffin and bit into it without benefit of butter. It had just the right amount of berries, and it was fragrant with cinnamon and nutmeg. She gave Michelle a nod and a smile, took another bite, and finished the muffin in no time flat.
"My guess is you liked it," Michelle commented.
"It was wonderful, Michelle. I want another one right away, but I'm going to hold off until Mike gets here." "Do you have any idea what he wants, besides breakfast?"
"Not really. He just said he needed to talk to you, but he didn't go into detail."
"Okay."
Hannah drained her coffee mug and got up to pour another. She just seated herself again when the doorbell rang.
"I'll get it,"
Michelle volunteered.
"Thanks. Don't forget to look through the peephole. Mike's a real stickler for that. If you don't, he'll lecture you about it." "Something sure smells good," Hannah heard Mike say as he stepped inside.
A moment later, he came into the kitchen.
"Hi, Hannah,"
he greeted her, and then he turned back to Michelle.
"What did you make for breakfast?"
"Chili cheese omelet squares and mixed berry muffins. Sit down and I'll get you some coffee and a muffin to start. The omelet squares need to cool for another couple of minutes."
"Wow,"
Mike commented 20 minutes later when his plate was empty for the second time.
"That was the best breakfast I've had in years."
Hannah exchanged amused glances with Michelle. Mike said that every time he finished a breakfast that one of them had made for him. But even though they'd heard it before, they knew it was sincere. The proof was in the eating, and both sisters had been watching as Mike had eaten his breakfast. He'd wolfed down 5 muffins and 4 chili cheese omelet squares that were more than liberally slathered with slap-ya-mama hot sauce. Mike had eaten like he'd been starving, and both of them knew that wasn't true. It was a wonder that his uniform still fit him.
"I'm glad you enjoyed your breakfast," Michelle told him. "How about another cup of coffee?"
"That'd be great." Mike held out his mug. "And then I want to talk to both of you about something serious."
Hannah felt her pulse begin to quicken. This was the moment she'd dreaded. Was Mike about to bring up the horrid suspicion that had occurred to her during the night? "What is it, Mike?" she asked after Michelle had filled his coffee cup and returned to the table.
"Doc called me this morning. PK ingested a lethal dose of a drug that constricted his striated muscles."
Michelle gasped.
"The heart contains striated muscles, doesn't it?"
"You're probably right. Doc said that in layman's terms, PK had a fatal heart attack caused by the drug he ingested."
Hannah swallowed hard. "From the candy he ate?"
"Doc said it was likely, but he doesn't know for sure yet. PK didn't take any cookies with him when he went back to work, did he?"
"No. We gave him a raspberry Danish, but we know that he hadn't eaten it yet. We saw it on the video he sent to Michelle, and it was still in the original packaging."
"But he ate cookies with you before that?"
"Yes," Hannah answered. "When he borrowed Ross's car, he ate some cherry chocolate bar cookies. But so did Mother, Michelle, and I." Mike made a note in the small notebook he always carried in his pocket.
"What time did he eat your cookies?"
"I don't remember, but I know it was before Michelle left for her rehearsal at the school." Hannah stopped speaking and began to frown. "You don't think our cookies were drugged, do you?"
"No. I'm just getting a timeline here. Doc told me that the drug would have worked within an hour or two, so it couldn't have been in your bar cookies."
Hannah took a deep breath and blurted out the nightmarish thought that had plagued her sleep. "Do you think the drugs were in the candy that was in Ross's desk?"
"Yes."
Michelle reached out for Hannah's hand and gave it a comforting squeeze, and then she asked the question that was uppermost in Hannah's mind. "Do you think that the drugged candy was meant for PK?"
"I don't know yet." Mike glanced at his watch. "KCOW's offices open in 20 minutes. I'm going out there now to talk to the office staff when they come in. We confiscated the candy last night, and Doc's running tests in his lab, but I need to find out when and how that candy got into Ross's desk."
"And then you'll know if PK was the intended victim," Michelle said, drawing the obvious conclusion.
"Maybe, but maybe not. It all depends on when and how the candy got there."
Hannah swallowed hard. "What if you can't pin it down? What if the candy was there before PK moved into Ross's office?"
"I think you already know the answer to that," Mike told her,
and then he reached out to pat her shoulder.
"Sorry, Hannah."
Hannah somehow managed to maintain her composure. Whatever happened, she couldn't avoid reality. "If you can't pin down the timing on the candy, you'll have to run 2 murder investigations. One for PK and one for..." Hannah stopped for a second to collect herself. "And one for Ross, just in case he was the intended victim."
"Exactly right. I'm sorry I can't tell you that it wasn't intended for Ross."
Hannah gave a little nod.
"So am I. If it was, do you think that could be why Ross disappeared without a trace?
It's certainly a possibility, especially if someone knew what was going to happen and warned Ross that his life was in danger.
Hannah swallowed hard. PK told us that Ross got a phone call right before he told PK that he had to leave, that it was a family emergency.
That constitutes a family emergency in my book. And if Ross was afraid that you or your family could be in danger, too, it could explain why he didn't tell you where he was going.
Mixed Berry Muffins. Preheat oven to 375 degrees Fahrenheit, rack in the middle position. The muffin batter. 2/3 cup white granulated sugar. 1/2 cup salted butter. 1 stick, 4 ounces, 1/4 pound. Softened. 2 large eggs. 1 teaspoon vanilla extract. 2 teaspoons baking powder. 1/2 teaspoon baking soda. 1/2 teaspoon ground cinnamon. 1/4 teaspoon salt. 3/4 cup whole milk, 2 cups all-purpose flour, pack it down when you measure it, 1 cup quick-cooking oats. I used Quaker Quick 1 minute. The fruit, 1 1/2 cups frozen mixed berries, 1/8 teaspoon ground nutmeg, 1/8 teaspoon ground cinnamon, 1 cup all-purpose flour, 1/8 cup brown sugar, pack it down in the cup when you measure it. Prepare your muffin pan by spraying the cups with Pam or another nonstick cooking spray, or lining the cups with double cupcake papers. This batch will make 12 to 18 muffins, so you will need 12 to 18 muffin cups. In the bowl of an electric mixer, beat the sugar and butter together at medium speed until they are light and fluffy. Add the eggs one at a time, beating after each addition. Add the vanilla extract, baking powder, baking soda, ground cinnamon, and salt. Mix them in thoroughly. You will now add the milk and the flour in 3 parts, beating after each addition. Pour in 1/4 cup of the milk and 1/2 cup of the flour, mixing both in thoroughly. Pour in another 1/4 cup of the milk and another 1/2 cup of the flour. Mix until they are thoroughly combined. Add the final 1/4 cup of the milk and the final cup of the flour, mixing both in thoroughly. Process the cup of quick-cooking oats with the steel blade in your food processor, or grind them in a grinder. You should end up with 3/4 cup of finely ground oats. Add the ground oats to your bowl and mix them in thoroughly. Measure out 1 1/2 cups of frozen mixed berries. Cut the large berries into several pieces while they are still frozen and place them in a small bowl. Sprinkle in the nutmeg, cinnamon, flour, and brown sugar. Mix them into the frozen fruit until everything is evenly combined. Fill the muffin cups 1/3 full with the muffin batter. If the batter is too sticky, first dip the spoon or scooper in water so that the batter will slide right off. Spoon 1/2 of the berries on top of the muffin batter in the cups, dividing it between all the muffins as evenly as you can. Spoon muffin batter over the fruit, filling each muffin cup 3/4 full. Add the rest of the mixed berries on top, dividing them between the muffins as evenly as you can. Bake your mixed berry muffins at 375 degrees Fahrenheit for 35 to 40 minutes, or until a toothpick inserted into the center of a muffin comes out clean, with no muffin batter clinging to it. Place the muffin pans on a cold stovetop burner or a wire rack and cool for at least 10 minutes. Then either tip them out of the muffin cups or lift them out by their cupcake papers. Transfer the muffins to a wire rack to cool to slightly above room temperature. Place the muffins on a pretty platter and serve them with plenty of soft butter. They can also be cooled completely, covered with foil or plastic wrap, and reheated in the microwave for later enjoyment. Yield 12 to 18 delicious muffins that everyone will love. Chili cheese omelet squares. Preheat oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit, rack in the middle position. 2 cups shredded cheddar cheese. I like to use sharp cheddar. 4-ounce can chopped green chilies.
I used Ortega. 2 cups shredded Havarti cheese. Monterey Jack will also work. 1 1/4 cups whole milk or half and half. 3 tablespoons all-purpose flour. 1/2 teaspoon salt. 1/4 teaspoon cumin powder. 3 large eggs. 8-ounce can tomato sauce. 1/4 teaspoon chili powder. Prepare an 8-inch square pan with sides 2 inches high by spraying it with Pam or another nonstick cooking spray. Layer half of the shredded cheddar cheese in the bottom of the pan. Drain the chopped green chilies and sprinkle half of them over the cheddar cheese. Sprinkle half of the shredded Havarti or Jack cheese over the chilies. Repeat using the rest of the cheeses and the green chilies. Pour the milk into a bowl. Sprinkle the flour, salt, and cumin powder on top of the milk. Crack the eggs and mix them into the bowl. Beat the eggs until you have a smooth, fluffy mixture and the ingredients are well combined. Pour the egg mixture into your prepared pan. Bake your chili cheese omelet squares for 40 minutes or until the top is golden brown. Take the pan out of the oven and place it on a wire rack on the counter. Cool the omelet for 10 minutes before cutting and serving it. While you're waiting for your omelet to cool, pour the tomato sauce into a microwave-safe container. Stir in the chili powder and heat the mixture on high for 1 to 2 minutes or until it is bubbling hot. Cut your chili cheese omelet squares into 8 pieces and serve it with the tomato chili sauce. Yield 8 tasty servings. Hannah's note. If you invite Mike for breakfast, be sure to put Slap Your Mama hot sauce on the table for him. Michelle's note. When I make this for my roommates at college, I always double the recipe and use a 9-inch by 13-inch cake pan. We like leftovers because we can reheat them in the microwave. Chapter 6. We need to bake, Hannah, Michelle said as they stepped into the kitchen at the cookie jar. Baking always calms us down. That's true. And I have a new cookie I want to try. Do you have rehearsals today? Yes, I have 2 rehearsals, back to back. We're going to run through the junior play at noon, and the Lake Eden players come in at 2. At least their rehearsal is shorter. And I should be back here by 3:15. Michelle moved a little closer. I can cancel both rehearsals if you need me here, Hannah. Hannah shook her head. No, Michelle, thanks for offering, but I'm like you. I'm better off if I stay really busy. Okay, but I'll have my cell with me. Just call if you need me, and I'll come straight back here. I want to work with you in the kitchen, though. I don't want to work in the coffee shop. For a moment, Hannah was puzzled, and then she thought she understood. Is Lisa going to tell the murder story? Yes. I sent her a text last night and said I'd tell her all about it when I saw her in the morning. Are you sure you want to do that? I'm sure. I certainly don't want to listen when Lisa tells the story, though. Hannah began to frown as an unwelcome thought crossed her mind. I want you to be completely honest with me, Michelle. Are you encouraging Lisa to tell the story because you think it'll increase our cookie sales? That's part of it, Michelle admitted. But Lisa loves to tell stories, and everyone's going to want to know the details anyway. If they don't get them from Lisa, they'll find out about the video and ask us. Hannah gave a reluctant nod. You're probably right, but it may be really difficult for you to fill Lisa in on the details. There was silence for a moment, and then Michelle sighed. You're right. It will be difficult, but it may be cathartic. And if I talk about it, I might not have any more nightmares like the ones I had last night. Okay, then. Hannah gave a slight nod. Do what you think is best, Michelle. But if you decide that you really don't want Lisa to tell the story, I'm sure she'll understand. She will. That's exactly what she said to me in her text message last night. There's only one thing I'm wondering about. Do you think I should show Lisa the video? Hannah took a moment to think about that, then she shook her head. Okay,
I already decided that I wasn't going to tell Lisa what Mike brought up this morning.
You mean that PK might not have been the intended victim?
Exactly. I thought it might interfere with our investigation.
Michelle stopped speaking and looked up at Hannah.
We are going to investigate, aren't we?
Yes.
And we're going to investigate both possibilities, aren't we?
Yes. But I'm not sure how we'll find out if Ross was the intended victim, since no one knows where he is.
You'll find a way. You're really good at investigating murders.
Thanks. Hannah turned to look at the kitchen coffee pot and saw that the green light was on. The coffee's ready, Michelle. Let's have a cup and then we'll bake. If Lisa tells the story today, we'll need as many cookies as we can make.
I know.
Hannah got up to pour two cups of coffee and carried them over to the workstation. What shall we bake first? She asked as she took the stool across from her sister.
I've got a bar cookie recipe that Aunt Nancy gave me the last time I came home from college. She said it belonged to Hades' mother, and I'm dying to try it.
Don't say dying, Hannah told her. There's already been enough of that around Lake Eden. Hannah was just taking the last pan of bar cookies she'd baked from the oven when someone knocked on the kitchen door. Michelle was in the coffee shop, giving Lisa the background for the story that she would tell after their customers came in, so Hannah rushed to let her visitor in the back door. "Hi, Mike," she said, even before she checked to make sure that was him.
"How did you know it was me?"
"I know your knock."
"My knock is different than everyone else's?"
"Yes," Hannah said, choosing not to elaborate. She didn't want to say that Mike's knock was rapid and authoritative. It practically screamed,
"It's the police! Open the door, now!" "Something sure smells good in here," Mike told her, hanging his uniform parka on one of the hooks by the back door.
"I know. Michelle and I have been baking. Sit down and I'll get you a cup of coffee and a couple of cookies."
"Great! I'm starving."
There was an amazed expression on Hannah's face as she went to pour Mike's coffee. 2 hours ago, he'd been sitting at her kitchen table, inhaling the breakfast that Michelle had made. He's a bottomless pit, she thought, but didn't say it. Instead, she said, "Here's your coffee," and set it down in front of him. "I'll cut some bar cookies for you."
"What kind are they?"
"Blueberry shortbread bar cookies."
"We've made them before. It's one of Aunt Nancy's recipes." "Then they're bound to be good. Aunt Nancy's recipes are always great, and if you and Michelle bake them, that's another plus."
"Thanks," Hannah said, going to the baker's rack to remove a pan of bar cookies. "It'll just take me a minute to cut these."
"I think I can wait, but I've got to warn you, my stomach's already growling."
"Of course it is. With you, it's a permanent affliction," Hannah thought to herself, as she tipped the bar cookies out of the pan and began to cut them into brownie-sized pieces. "How many do you want?" she asked.
"I could eat the whole pan if you'd let me."
Hannah laughed. It was the answer she'd been expecting. "I'll give you 8 for now. Just ask if you want more. How's that?"
"Fine with me."
Hannah waited until Mike had eaten 2 of the bar cookies, and then she got up to refill his coffee cup. She sat back down on her stool, but she simply couldn't wait any longer to ask what he'd found out at KCOW television.
"So what did they tell you about the candy?" she asked him.
Mike gave a loud sigh.
"Nothing definitive. The receptionist was out the day the mailroom brought up the candy, and a temp accepted the package."
"Did it come by mail?"
"Yes, and the mailroom handles a lot of mail. I asked, and no one there even remembers it, since it was a prepaid mailer, and it didn't look personal. It's entirely possible it could have been sitting in the mailroom for a while before someone took it upstairs."
"Does the temp remember the day it came in?"
"Yes. She asked, and someone said to put it on Ross's desk."
"Why were they putting things on Ross's desk when he wasn't there?"
"Because everyone thought he'd be back any day. No one knew that Ross had disappeared. They all thought that he was out in the field taping something for their special programming."
"Who told them that?"
"PK. He was covering for Ross, and you and your family substantiated that story. by telling everyone in town that Ross was out on location.
Hannah groaned. So you still don't know if Ross or PK was the intended victim?
That's right. And that's the problem, Hannah. The temp remembers that the mailer had a return address, but it was the address of the candy company's corporate headquarters. When I called to check with the candy company, they told me that their stores provide prepaid mailers to any customers who buy 2-pound boxes if the customer asks for one. At some point, someone must have thrown away the mailer, but I don't know when. The cleaning crew empties the trash every night, and it's collected 3 times a week. Paper trash is recycled daily, so now there's no trace of it.
Sounds like you've had a frustrating morning so far.
That's right. I still have no idea when that candy was mailed and when it arrived at KCOW. That avenue's a dead end, Hannah.
Hannah began to frown. So what you're telling me is that since you can't pin down the arrival of the candy, you can't identify the intended victim.
Right.
And that means you have to investigate anyone who might have had a reason to kill either Ross or PK.
Exactly. I'll need to ask you some questions about Ross's background, Hannah. I've got to find out if there's anyone who might have wanted to kill him and why. And since Michelle was PK's friend, I'll need to ask her if he told her anything that might suggest a motive for his murder. Is it okay if I drop by the condo to see both of you tonight?
Hannah made up her mind instantly. Of course.
Come by for dinner at 7 and bring Lonnie with you. I'll invite Norman, too. He spent time with Ross and PK when they worked together covering sports events at Jordan High.
Norman may know something personal about Ross or PK that could help.
Great.
Mike stood up and grabbed a paper napkin. He dumped the remaining bar cookies inside and folded it into a packet.
I'll take these with me to eat on the way out to the sheriff's station. That's okay, isn't it?
Of course it's okay.
Thanks, Hannah. I'll see you tonight.
When Mike had left, Hannah sat back down at the workstation for the space of several seconds, and then she jumped up. Lisa could handle opening the coffee shop alone while Michelle baked in the kitchen. She had to get over to Florence's Red Owl grocery to pick up something she could put in the slow cooker for dinner. Chapter 7 Hannah had just returned to the cookie jar after buying the ingredients for jambalaya and was driving back to the condo to start their dinner when Michelle came through the swinging restaurant-style door that separated the kitchen from the coffee shop.
Oh, good, you're back, she greeted Hannah.
Lisa says to tell you that you had 2 calls while you were gone. One was from Cyril Murphy at the garage. He wants you to call him about Ross's car.
I hope it's good news, and it's still in fairly good shape. How about the second call?
It was from Sally at the Lake Eden Inn, and she told Lisa that it was important.
Thanks, Michelle. I'll call Sally first, and then I'll talk to Cyril.
There's one other thing. Andrea's out front, and she wants to talk to you. Should I send her back now, or wait until you've returned your calls?
Send her back now. I need to talk to her anyway. I'll give her a cup of coffee and a couple of cookies, and then I'll make my calls.
A phrase their great-grandmother Elsa had been fond of saying popped into Hannah's head. It never rains but it pours, she said, smiling at Michelle. Michelle looked at her blankly for a moment, and then she began to smile back.
I don't exactly remember it, but that sounds like great-grandma Elsa.
You're right.
It means that everything happens at once, doesn't it?
It does, Hannah said, and then she glanced at the clock. Today, that's a good thing.
Why?
Because Andrea arrived in time to take you to your rehearsals. I'll make sure she leaves in about 30 minutes.
Great! I looked at the thermometer and it's really cold out there. But that's not the only good thing about Andrea coming in.
What do you mean?
She brought her new whippersnapper cookies for you to taste. She gave a sample to Lisa, Aunt Nancy, and me, and I know you'll like them. They're really good.
I'm sure they are. Andrea loves to make whippersnappers. Go tell her to come back here, and I'll taste one before I make my calls. And if Lisa starts telling the story, just come back here with Andrea and me. Hannah had just poured a cup of coffee for her sister when Andrea breezed through the swinging door. She was carrying a plastic container, and she set it down on the stainless steel surface of the workstation. She was wearing a powder blue cashmere sweater and skirt that looked stunning with her shining blonde hair. Andrea was the perfect picture of the highly successful real estate agent that she actually was. "You look lovely, Andrea," Hannah complimented her. "Thanks." Hannah somehow managed to keep the amused smile off her face. Usually when someone received a compliment, they responded with a return compliment in kind. Of course, Hannah couldn't really fault Andrea for not returning the compliment, since she was wearing a pair of old jeans, a green sweater that had seen better days, and her voluminous white chef's apron.
"I brought you something," Andrea said, motioning toward the counter. "I baked a new whippersnapper cookie."
"Your reputation has preceded you."
"What?"
"Your whippersnappers. Michelle already told me that I was going to love them." Even though she wasn't really hungry, Hannah's mouth started to water as Andrea took off the lid and the scent of pineapple wafted through the air. "They smell delicious," she said.
"Come and taste one. So far everyone likes them, but your opinion matters the most to me."
Hannah was pleased. As far as she was concerned, what Andrea had just told her was even better than a return compliment. "If they taste as good as they smell, I'm sure I'm going to love them." Hannah walked over and plucked a cookie from the container. "They're pretty, Andrea. I like the cherry on top."
"Thanks. They looked a little plain, and I thought they needed something for color."
"Well, you picked the right something. Half a maraschino cherry always reminds me of holidays or special occasions." Hannah bit into the cookie and smiled as the flavor she'd smelled became a reality.
"Oh, my," she said.
"Does that mean you really like them?"
"I love them. What do you call them?"
"Pineapple raisin whippersnapper cookies.
I start with a spice cake mix and add the Cool Whip, crushed pineapple, and golden raisins."
"Will you give me the exact recipe? I know our customers will love them. They love all of your whippersnapper cookies." Andrea looked extremely pleased, even though Hannah had told her that before.
"Then I guess that it's a really good thing I have more cookies in the car. I'll go get them before I leave, and you can try them out on your customers."
"That'll be fun. I'll be happy to pay you for the cookies, Andrea."
"Don't be silly," Andrea waved away Hannah's offer. "Consider it a favor. You do lots of things for me."
"I do?"
"Yes. The biggest favor is that you're teaching Tracy to bake. And I think Bethy's old enough to have a small part in it."
"Oh, good," Hannah said. It was the one thing that she could do for Tracy and Bethy that Andrea or Grandma McCann didn't have the time or the inclination to do.
"I wish you would give me more so I could do for you," Andrea said. "Sometimes I feel like I take and take from you and I never give back."
An idea flashed like lightning through Hannah's mind, and she gasped aloud. There was something that Andrea could do for her.
"What is it?"
Andrea looked concerned. "I just thought of something that only you could do for me, but I'm not sure that you have the time."
"I'll make the time. What is it, Hannah?"
"I want you to investigate a murder."
"But you do that."
"I know, but I can't investigate this one. People wouldn't tell me the truth."
"Are you talking about PK's murder?"
"No. This investigation is about Ross." Andrea's mouth dropped open.
"Ross is dead?"
"No, or at least they don't think he is. It's just that Mike doesn't know whether the drugged candy in Ross's desk was meant for Ross or for PK. And that means Mike has to investigate both possibilities in order to catch the killer." Andrea thought about that for a moment, and then she nodded.
"I get it. I knew that PK ate drugged candy. Mother saw the autopsy report when Doc's secretary typed it up this morning. She called to tell me about it, and she said to tell you when I got here, but it sounds as if you already knew."
"Mike told me."
"He's sharing information this time?"
"He told me that when he described his meeting he had with the KCOW office staff.
The candy was addressed to Ross's office number, so a temporary receptionist took it to his office.
I get it, Andrea said. I knew that PK was using Ross's office, but I didn't even consider that the candy might have been intended for Ross.
The two sisters were quiet for a moment, and then Andrea reached out for Hannah's hand.
That's just awful, Hannah. How can you live with the knowledge that someone might have been trying to murder your husband?
What choice do I have? The reality is that it could have happened that way. I need to find out if it's true. And that's where you come in.
I see. You can't question people about Ross because he's your new husband and nobody would admit it if they had a grudge against him. Tell me exactly what you want me to do and I'll do it.
Thanks, Andrea. Can you stick around while I make a couple of calls? Then we can talk about it.
Yes. I don't have anything to do except pick Tracy up when school's out for the day. Is there anything else you need?
Actually, yes. Could you give Michelle a ride to Jordan High for her rehearsals? It's cold out there, and I don't want her to have to walk.
I can do that, no problem.
Thanks. And don't ever think that I don't appreciate the fact that you've already helped me a lot.
How?
Just by loving me and being my sister. Andrea looked surprised, but then she smiled. It was a slow smile, almost as if the clouds had rolled back and the sun had peeked through.
Go make your calls, Hannah. I'll run out to the car and get my second container of whippersnappers for your customers. Do you care if we pass them out right now?
Not at all. You can judge their reactions that way.
Okay. Then that's exactly what I'll do. Come out to get me when you finish your calls, and we'll talk about exactly how you want me to investigate.
When Andrea left the kitchen, Hannah walked to the phone. A few seconds later, she had Sally Loughlin on the phone. Hi, Sally. It's Hannah. Michelle told me you called, and she said it was important. What's up?
Did you see the article Rod ran in the Sunday Lake Eden Journal about the holiday gift convention I'm going to hold in our convention center this weekend?
Yes, it sounds like a wonderful idea.
It's even more wonderful than I thought. I checked the vendor roster this morning, and we have almost 100.
Wow, Hannah was impressed. Sally's gift show was going to be larger than any convention they'd ever held at the Lake Eden Inn.
All selling Christmas and Thanksgiving decorations and gifts. Most of their items are handmade, and if they're not, they're personalized. I think the customers will appreciate that.
You're right, and I'll certainly be there. It's hard to find gifts for Mother. If she likes something, she buys it for herself. I'm always looking for something new and different.
You're exactly the kind of customer we want to attract. We're competing with the Tri-County Mall and the catalogs. Our gifts and decorations have to be unique.
The paper said the convention starts on Friday and lasts through Sunday. That's right, isn't it?
Yes, Friday is the opening day, and I think it'll be big. Everyone's very excited about it, and the phone at the inn has been ringing off the hook. Some of my vendors are already here, setting up their booths.
And they're staying with you, of course. That's good for your winter business, isn't it?
You bet. This is a slow time of year for us, and it should bring in quite a few hotel guests. Anyone who's not a vendor and stays at the inn can get into the convention an hour before we open to the general public.
That's very smart, Sally.
Thank you. There's something else, too. Our vendor food service doesn't start until tomorrow, so they've all been eating in the restaurant or ordering from room service.
You have a food service just for the vendors?
Of course. We offer 3 meals a day in the dining room attached to the convention center. Brooke and Lauren do a great job running it. They're a really cute couple, and sometimes I wonder when they'll get around to getting married.
All you have to do is look at them to know they're in love. Sally stopped speaking and gave a little laugh.
I bet you're wondering why I called you.
Actually, yes. Michelle said it was important.
It is. Would you like to run a cookie booth on the 3 days of the convention?
Brooke and Lauren planned to do it, but we didn't expect this many vendors, and they're going to have their hands full. They won't have time to bake cookies, too. Hannah thought about it for a moment. It was a great business opportunity. How much does it cost for the booth?
Absolutely nothing. All you have to do is set it up with cookies and coffee before we open the doors. Charge whatever you think is a good price.
But you'll take a percentage of the profits, won't you?
No. You'll be doing me a favor, Hannah. We're going to set up tables and chairs in the center of the convention hall so people can sit down and take a break. They'll want a cup of coffee or tea to perk them up and something sweet to have with it. That's what your booth will provide.
Hannah didn't hesitate. They were always looking for expansion, and this opportunity was a natural for them.
I'm in, Sally. Just let me check with Lisa and make sure that we have the personnel to do it. How many cookies do you think we might need every day?
As many as you sell per day at the cookie jar, and perhaps a few more. You'll be able to judge that after the first full day. Call me back and tell me if Lisa says it's a go, Hannah. I really need you to do this, and I think it'll be good for the cookie jar, too.
I already know it would be good for us, but that's a lot of extra cookies to bake.
What do you think, Hannah? Sally prompted. Can you handle selling cookies in two places?
I think so, but I'll get back to you for sure within the hour, Hannah promised. If we can handle the extra volume, this could be a very good thing for both of us.
Pineapple Raisin Whippersnapper Cookies. Do not preheat your oven yet. This dough needs to chill before baking. 8 ounce can crushed pineapple. I used Dole. 1 cup golden or regular raisins. Approximately 1/4 cup water. 1 box, approximately 18 ounces, spice cake mix, the kind that makes a 9-inch by 13-inch cake. I used Duncan Hines, 18.5 ounces net weight. 1 large egg, beaten, just whip it up in a glass with a fork. 2 cups original Cool Whip, thawed. Measure this. A tub of Cool Whip contains a little over 3 cups, and that's too much. 1 teaspoon vanilla extract. 1/2 cup powdered confectioner's sugar. You don't have to sift it unless it's old and has big lumps. Small jar of maraschino cherries, drained and cut in half vertically. Optional for decorating your cookies. Use a strainer to drain the pineapple. Place the raisins in a microwave-safe measuring cup. Pour the water over the raisins. Add enough water to cover the raisins. Hannah's first note, if you prefer, you can use rum instead of water. Heat the raisins and the liquid for 1 minute on high in the microwave. Let the cup sit in the microwave to plump the raisins for an additional minute. Remove the cup to a folded towel or potholder on the kitchen counter. Give the raisins a stir and then cool the cup to room temperature. Do not drain the raisins yet. Leave the liquid in the cup. Pour half of the dry cake mix into a large mixing bowl. Use a smaller bowl to mix the 2 cups of Cool Whip with the beaten egg and the vanilla extract. Stir gently with a rubber spatula until everything is combined. Add the Cool Whip mixture to the cake mix in the large bowl. Stir very carefully with a wooden spoon or a rubber spatula. Stir only until everything is combined. You don't want to stir all the air from the Cool Whip. Pat the crushed pineapple dry with paper towels and then add it to the large mixing bowl. Drain the raisins, pat them dry with paper towels, and add them to the large mixing bowl. Sprinkle the rest of the cake mix on top of the fruit and gently fold everything together with the rubber spatula. Again, keep as much air in the batter as possible. Air is what will make your cookies soft and give them a melt-in-your-mouth quality. Cover the bowl with plastic wrap and chill the cookie dough for at least 1 hour in the refrigerator. It's a little too sticky to form into balls without chilling it first. Hannah's second note. Lisa and I mix up this dough before we leave the cookie jar for the night and bake it when we come into work the next morning. When your cookie dough has chilled and you're ready to bake, preheat your oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit and make sure the rack is in the middle position. Do not take your chilled cookie dough out of the refrigerator until after your oven has reached the proper temperature. While your oven is preheating, prepare your cookie sheets by spraying them with Pam or another nonstick baking spray, or lining them with parchment paper. Place the powdered sugar in a small, shallow bowl. You will be dropping cookie dough into this bowl to form dough balls and coating them with the